I heard the first of her stories one spring evening on a Brooklyn rooftop. I was interning at an art festival back then, newly arrived and hungry for the city, fancying I belonged in the art world. And because I was keen to rub shoulders with artists, I found myself on the roof of the gallery that evening, listening to her tell me she had a quarter in her shoe. She'd made up her mind to walk around with the coin until she dreamed about it. It had been in there 2 weeks, she explained. She wanted America beneath her skin, but all she'd gotten were a few ugly blisters, and she hadn't even dreamed about the coin yet. I wished her luck with the project. We clinked glasses, and she introduced herself as Anna Ivan. When I asked where she was from, she said Bucharest, telling me about where she grew up and about Ceausescu's rationing in the 80s, when only every fifth street lamp was lit, and the television broadcast programs for just 2 hours a day. Oh, sure, Romania, I said. Things were pretty bad back then? Anna shrugged. They never went hungry, but there was no electricity, and she remembered the long, dark evenings in the apartment, the afternoons when there was so little to do that she was reduced to padding out the hours with daydreams. Sometimes she sat in front of the blank television and imagined the cartoons she'd seen, rearranging them into new combinations. Other times she played a game with her father. They put a blank piece of paper on the table, shut their eyes, and let a pen fall on the sheet at random. A dot here and a dot there, until there were a few handfuls of them. Then they sat together and stared at the dots, looking for figures or patterns that looked like figures, and when they'd agree on one, they joined up the dots to make a picture emerge. They drew lines between the dots to make an elephant or a flower or a snail shell, and sooner or later, her father always threw open his arms and said, "Ah, Anna, just imagine. This is how the world hangs together. Everything we see, just a few tiny flecks in space." He said it every time. Not in that sense an inventive man. "What do you make of that, then?" he would say. "Most of what we see is nothing but empty space. It's just the distance between atoms, sheer nothingness." And then Anna would pick up the pen and ask, "So this is nothing?" And her father would say, "No, sweetheart, that's atoms and nothing." And it was all true. A nice, edifying game they continued to play, until one day Anna went on a school trip. She was in the second or third year, she told me. It must have been in the mid-80s, because Ceausescu's palace was still a forest of scaffolding growing out of the hillside into the center of town, and the teacher was shepherding the children toward the building site, pointing at the cranes and diggers and asking,
"So can anybody tell me what that is?"
"Yes," Anna said. "It's nothing."
"Nothing?" said the school teacher. "What do you mean by that?" "That's what my dad says. It's sheer nothingness."
Anna's father was summoned for a conversation. He had to explain and smooth things over, and if Anna was to be believed, he was lucky not to lose his job or his front teeth, because after that episode, all the family's letters were steamed open, the Securitate kept coming to visit, and the neighbors listened in on the telephone line.
"Join up the dots," said Anna, when she'd finished her story. "Know what I mean?"
I nodded as if I'd seen or construed or guessed what she meant, because everything back then was simpler. Anna talked and I listened. And what did it matter to me whether she talked about her father or her school trips? Anna was an artist, and in my eyes, that made her worth listening to. As I remember it, it was the first warm day of spring. I'd gotten there early to set up tables, leaning against the banister as I watched the guests come up the stairs, some of them pausing a moment and blinking as they emerged into the sunlight and the scent of the river that hung above the city that day, as if they'd forgotten why they were hurrying or what came after the short, endless days of winter. A train clattered over the Manhattan Bridge above us. Down from the street came the bleating of a truck's horn, and around me, the guests were chattering away,